So we saw a Gemara, very important Gemara, the Chof Dalet Amud Beis at the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara brought a machlokes. What exactly is the issue of those who are Masachik Bekuvia? Why are they considered pasul for Edus? Romi Bachama was the first opinion, and he says because it's an issue of Asmachta. You don't literally mean it. We saw this in Rashi. You're secretly hoping that you'd actually win this betting game. You didn't seriously commit yourself to pay, and if the other party nonetheless obligate you to do so, it's a type of gezel, although we all understand, obviously, it's not real gezel, and as Tosfos warned us, it's only a psul midrabanan. But that's the first pshat. The second pshat disagreed, for reasons we will not get involved in. Again, he says this is not a case of asmachta, and therefore it's a completely different reason. And the reason is because this person is not Oisik b'yishuvon shel olam. He is not involving himself in earning his money in a normal, regular way. He has no idea about the comings and goings of the financial markets, and therefore he cannot possibly be involved in any financial case in Beis Din. Those were the two reasons. The first was Romi Bar Choma, and the second was Rav Sheshes. So the Gemara said, what would be the difference between the two opinions? The difference would be, what happens if you have somebody who admittedly is a Masachik Bekuvia, but he also has another umnus? So he's a professional during the day, he's a businessman, and at night he goes to the casino. So if you hold it's a problem of Asmachta, like Romi Bar Choma does, then yes, this indeed would be a problem. Because at the end of the day, he's involved in asmachtas, and asmachtas are not koina. But if you go like Rav Sheshes that says that the problem is nothing to do with asmachta, but rather it's an issue because of he's not oisek b'yishuvan shalaylam, well, this particular person is. Because on top of gambling at the casino, he also has a regular day job. Therefore, that would be a case where it would turn out there'll be a machloikas between Romi Bar Choma and Rav Sheshes, whether in that case it be possible for either. So let's have a look at the Gemara. It's the fifth bottom line. The first word on the line is umnasa. We're in the middle of that line. Tanan. We learned in our Mishnah, Omer Rabbi Yehuda said, quote unquote, Emosai, when would this be the case? The Mishnah told us in the beginning that a Masachik Bekuvia is possible for Eidos. And Rabbi Yehuda said, Emosai, when is this the case? Bizman she'ein lohen umnus elohu, comma. At a time when he has no other umnus, no other professionality, no other profession besides for this. This is the only thing he's involved with. Avo yeish lohem umnus shelohu. But if he has a profession not, including Masachik Bekuvia, he's got a profession, some other job, then harizek sheirim, then there will be kosher. That is the end of the quote from the Mishnah. So what do you see from Rabbi Yehuda? Alma, we see from Rabbi Yehuda, tamad masnisin, that the reason of the Mishnah is mishum yeshuvoi shaloilam. Don't we now see absolutely clearly in the Mishnah that the issue cannot possibly be asmachta, but rather the issue is yeshuvoi shaloilam, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda says if you have another job, you're okay. Says the Gemara, if that's okay, if that's the case, kashya l'rami b'choma, question mark. This is a big kashya on Rami b'choma. The Gemara brought two opinions. The Gemara said quite clearly that the difference between the cases, the difference between the two opinions would be what happens if you have another profession. Well, the Mishnah talks about that. And the Mishnah said in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, Emosai, that you're only possible when you're a Masachik Bekuvia if you don't have another profession. But if you do have another profession, you're kosher. So what does that clearly tell us? We have a Mefurisha Mishnah, black on white, surely that's telling us that the issue behind the Masachik Bekuvia is not Asmachta, rather is Yeshuvon Shel Olam, and that's why if you have another job, you're okay. So that is an absolute proof to the second opinion of Sheshes. Romi Bar Choma is in trouble. That is the Gemara's Kasha. Romi Bar Choma cannot suggest a pshat in the Mishnah if you look in that Mishnah, the Mishnah says the opposite. Now, before we look at the Gemara's Teretz, let's remind ourselves, when you look back at the Mishnah started saying, Ve'elu hein hapsulim, the following apostle. And the list included Mesachik Bekuvia. Upon which Rabbi Yehuda comments, Amosai, when is that the case? Do not think, says Rabbi Yehuda, that this is a general rule. It's not. It only applies to somebody who has no other profession. If he has another profession, then he would be kosher. Now that clearly, unequivocally, does not fit in with Rami Bar Chama. There is no way in the world that you can reconcile that with Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama said the issue is asmachta, so who in the world cares that you have another profession? It's clear in Rabbi Yehuda that Rabbi Yehuda is not going with asmachta, he's going with Yeshuv and Shaloylom. You don't know much about financial issues. Ah, if you have another job, then you do. So there's no way that Rami Bar Chama, who goes with asmachta, can fit in with Rabbi Yehuda. So l'chayra, this seems to be an enormous question. However, and this is what the Gemara is now going to discuss. Was Rabbi Yehuda coming to explain the opinion of the first Tanakama or to disagree with him? Remember, the Mishnah said the following apostle, Mesachik Bekuvia, no qualification. The Tanakama did not say that Mesachik Bekuvia is possible if he has no job. Rabbi Yehuda came along and said, Amosai, when is this the case? Only if he's got no other job. But if he has another job, he's okay. Was Rabbi Yehuda coming to explain the opinion of the Tanakama? Which means, therefore, there are no two opinions in this Mishnah, there are only one. Or perhaps he's disagreeing with the Tanakama. The Tanakama holds that Mesachik Bekuvia is possible always. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says, no, it's not always. Amosai, when is he possible? Only under the following set of circumstances. And obviously the difference is for us. Because if Rabbi Yehuda is explaining the opinion of the Tanakama and there are in fact no two opinions, well then Rami Bar Chama is all over. How can Rami Bar Chama say that the psul of Mesachik Bekuvia is asmachta and would be possible always when Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama both agree that no, if you have another job, you're okay. So that clearly shows that they hold that the problem is Yeshuv and Shalaylam. Whereas if Rabbi Yehuda is qualifying but disagreeing with the Tanakama, then it turns out there are two opinions in the Mishnah. The first opinion says you're possible in all circumstances, and Rabbi Yehuda says you're possible only in certain circumstances. Ah, well, that would therefore be Rami Bar Chama's escape route. Then Rami Bar Chama would say, I'm following the opinion of the Tanakama. The Tanakama did not say anything about whether he does have a job or doesn't have a job. And that's what I was coming to explain. Therefore, it must be dependent on asmachta, and he's like a type of gezel, and that's why it's possible in all cases. So ultimately, it all boils down to understanding what did Rabbi Yehuda mean when he said Amosai, when? Does the word Amosai, is that a qualification of the Tanakama or is he disagreeing with the Tanakama? And the Gemara, have a look on the bottom line, immediately suggests this. Says the Gemara, V'chi teima, and if you may say, you might want to suggest that Pligi Rabbonon Oleo de Rabbi Yehuda. You might want to say, in order to defend the position of Rami Bar Chama, that Rabbi Yehuda is disagreeing with the Rabbonon of the first opinion. Ah, if they're disagreeing, then you cannot point the accusing finger at Rami Bar Chama because you've got Rabbi Yehuda who doesn't fit in, says Rami Bar Chama, thank you very much. The Tanakama does fit in. So I'm very well backed up by the opinion of the Tanakama. The Tanakama says that somebody who's Mesachik Bekuvia is possible no qualification whatsoever, he's possible in all cases. That's exactly what I was coming to explain. Don't ask me a question, oh, how does that fit in with Rabbi Yehuda? What do you mean? Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with the Tanakhama. I was explaining the Tanakhama. So that would be a very neat teretz to the opinion of Rami Bar Chama. Why is it a problem? Says the Gemara, V'ha'omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. But Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi once said the following, Kol Mokoim. Any place, Sha'omer Rabbi Yehuda, whenever Rabbi Yehuda said the following words, top of the Omer, Amosai, quote unquote, Ubameh, quote unquote. Those two words, Amosai meaning when, or Ubameh meaning what, whenever Rabbi Yehuda says those words, Einoi Elo Lafaresh Divrei Chachamim. Rabbi Shua ben Levi says, you should take note. You will find that in many cases, Rabbi Yehuda uses these terms of Amosai or Bameh. You should know that's not a disagreement with the Chachamim. He's coming to explain the opinion of the Chachamim. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Rabbi Yochanan says slightly different. Amosai, quote unquote, is Lefarish. Indeed, I agree that Amosai is coming to explain. But Ubameh, quote unquote, is lachloik. That's coming to disagree. Says the Gemara, Udakula Alma, it turns out, therefore, everybody, Rab Shua ben Levi, Rab Yechon, everybody agrees that Amosai, again, quote unquote, the word Amosai, Lefareshu, question mark. Everybody agrees. Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Rabbi Yochanan, they all agree that whenever Rabbi Yehuda says the word Amosai, he's not coming to disagree, he's just explaining the prior opinion. In which case, Rabbi Yisai, are we good or are we no good? We're not good, we're in big trouble. Because Rami Bar Chama said that the reason behind the Mishnah is asmachta, which means that what? You should be posel in absolutely every case, irrelevant of whether he's got another profession. And yet Rabbi Yehuda says it does depend on whether you've got another profession. And he used that magic word, Amosai, which all opinions agree that that's not a new shitta. He's just coming to explain the Tanakhama. So how many opinions are there in the Mishnah? There are only one opinion. There's one opinion. Rabbi Yehuda is coming to explain the opinion of the Tanakhama. How do I know? Because he used that word, Amosai. So really, the way you've got to read the Mishnah is as follows. The Tanakhama says, the following people, Apostle Mesachik Bekuvia, says Rabbi Yehuda, absolutely, I just want to explain that what the Rabbonon meant was, Amosai, when is that the case? Only if he's got no other job. But if he does have another job, then everybody would agree he's kosher. Well, I'm sorry to tell you, that does not fit in with Rami Bar Chama. If we would be allowed to suggest that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with the Tanakhama, oh, that'd be wonderful. Because then Rami Bar Chama is merely an explanation of the Tanakhama. But Rabbi Shua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan have just now told us that the word Amosai is not a disagreement. It's just an explanation. There are no two opinions in the Mishnah. So the general consensus of our Mishnah is a Mesachik Bekuvia is posel, period. So how can you tell me? The general consensus of the Mishnah is that Mesachik Bekuvia is posel, subject to whether he does or doesn't have another job. So how can Rami Bar Chama possibly suggest that the reason behind our Mishnah is Mesachik Bekuvia because it's an asmachta? How on earth does that fit in with the Mishnah?
Rabbi, could you just please explain what an asmachta is again? I can't
copy. Yes, asmachta is when you commit yourself to something where we have reasons to suggest you didn't really mean it. The classic case would... The classic case is the case that Rashi said, if I don't turn up to work, I'll give you $1,000. Why didn't I mean it? Because it's within my control to come to work. I didn't have the faintest thought, really, of not coming to work and giving you $1,000. So therefore, if you obligate me to pay the $1,000, essentially you're getting me to pay money which I didn't really commit myself to. The case that we're dealing with is a bit controversial. When I throw a dice and I'm gambling, so Romi Bar Choma called that an asmachta as well. If you remember, if Sheish just disagreed, he said that's not an asmachta because it's not within your control. So you can't tell me, well, you weren't really being serious. Well, obviously you're being serious because you knew full well that it's not within your control. That's why I had to suggest a new reason. But the
why is he saying that because of an asmachta you'll be puzzled? How does that?
Because we said it's a type of gzeila. It's not really gzeila, but if you didn't really commit yourself to pay the money and the other party nonetheless obligate you to do so, so in the final analysis, he's obligating you to pay money which you don't really owe. Why don't I really owe? Asmachta, loy, kanya. There's not a real kinyan. If I say to you, it's your birthday today, I promise I'm going to give you $100, fine, so you're kainah, I'm absolutely committed to pay the money. So if you now say, excuse me, I demand the $100, that's not stealing. I owe it to you by rights. But if I say I'm going to give you $1,000 if the dice turns out to be a number six, well, says the Gemara, according to one opinion, that's asmachta. I didn't really mean it. I was actually hoping it would not be six. Says the Gemara. So at the moment, we're in big trouble. Romi Bar Choma is in big, big trouble. Romi Bar Choma said, the reason behind the Mishnah is asmachta, which would definitely have to lead us to the conclusion that he's possible in every single case. And yet, how can the Mishnah therefore say, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, who's explaining the Tanakhama, that no, it actually depends on whether he's got another job or not. Why on earth would it depend on whether he's got another job? Obviously, that's a proof to Rav Sheshes against Romi Bar Choma, that the reason behind the Mishnah is not because of asmachta, rather, because he's not being involved in Yishuv Ha'olam, and that's why the Mishnah says, but if he's got another job, then he is Yisub Yishuv Ha'olam. So we seem to have the Mishnah explicit, like Rav Sheshes, Romi Bar Choma is in big, big trouble. Says the Gemara, he's not. This is a famous phrase. Gavra agavra koromis, exclamation mark. One man versus another man, is that a contradiction? We're just translating, we'll explain in a moment. Mar sova pligi, umar sovar loy pligi. Period. What does the Gemara mean to comment? Why are you telling me that Romi Bar Choma is in trouble? Romi Bar Choma, l'chayra, had a very, very easy, simple answer. What was his easy, simple answer? There's two opinions in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda is not coming lefaresh, he's coming lachloik. And I was explaining the opinion of the Tanakhama. That would have been a very neat teretz. Now, why did you reject that teretz? Because Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said that lefaresh, that Amosai is coming lefaresh. Okay, so I disagree with Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. How can you tell me that my opinion, Romi Bar Choma, is difficult from the Mishnah because Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi decided that the word Amosai is coming lefaresh? Excuse me, I'm allowed to disagree with Rabbi Shua Malevi. That's what it means. A man against a man. That's why my opinion is in trouble because Rabbi Shua Ben Levi said otherwise. An Amoira cannot disagree with a Tana. That we all know. Rabbi Shua Ben Levi is an Amoira. Rabbi Yochanan is an Amoira. So yes, they're perfectly entitled to their opinion. They maintain that whatever Rabbi Yehuda says, Amosai, he's coming to explain. Fine, I disagree with him. And I hold that Amosai means that Rabbi Yehuda is coming to disagree. So if you ask Rabbi Yehuda, if you ask Romi Bar Choma, how many opinions are there in the Mishnah? What would he tell you?
Two.
And I was coming to explain the first opinion. What's the problem? Oh, two opinions in the Mishnah? But Rabbi Shua Ben Levi says there's only one opinion in the Mishnah. Fine. I'm allowed to disagree with Rabbi Shua Ben Levi. Gavra agavra karamis? Are you trying to contradict my opinion and disprove me because Rabbi Shua ben Levi learned the Mishnah differently? That's his prerogative, but it's my prerogative to disagree. Look at Rashi, top Rashi. Emosai ubameh. Emosai kagoin. Emosai again. Whenever it says that word emosai, put it in speech marks. Emosai kagoin b'masnisa, like in our Mishnah, Dehocha, where Rabbi Yehuda said, Emosai, oi, sometimes you find bameh, bameh, dvorim amurim. When was this said? Gavra agavra, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Arami Bahama? Question mark. That's who you're pitting against Rabbi Bahama. You're saying Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi disagrees with you? Rami Bahama Sovar. Rami Bahama is absolutely entitled to maintain Amosai, quote unquote, the Rabbi Yehuda, lachloik ba. Rami Bahama says, I hold that when Rabbi Yehuda says the word Amosai, he is in fact coming to disagree. Rabbi Shua ben Levi is perfectly entitled to his opinion that Amosai is merely an explanation. I, Rami Bahama, disagree with him. And I hold that Amosai is not an explanation, rather it's a disagreement. So if you ask Rami Bahama, tell me, how did you learn the Mishnah? How many opinions are there in the Mishnah? What would he say?
Two.
There are two opinions in the Mishnah. When Rabbi Yehuda said Amosai, that is a second opinion that disagrees with the first. The first opinion is what I was coming to explain. Rabbonon hold a mesachek b'kuvya is posel le'edus, period. No exceptions. And that's my explanation because of asmakta le'kanya. What's the kasha? The Rabbi Shua ben Levi learned the Mishnah differently? A seder. That's his prerogative. But you can't prove me wrong because another Amora learned the Mishnah differently. I'm allowed to disagree with another Amora. Yeah.
How do we know that the word Amosai goes on Masachi Bekuvia? Maybe it goes on some of the other cases in the Mishnah.
That may well be. It's going on all of the cases then.
So why are we only discussing Masachi Bekuvia? In other words, when they say Amosai, he can say, no, Amosai doesn't.
We'll see. Amos. The Hemshuk of the Gemara discusses the other cases. For the moment, we're going in order of the Mishnah. The Mishnah mentioned Masachi Bekuvia. That was the first one on the list. That's
so the Amosai goes on all the different cases?
Might well be. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so it turns out that if we were to ask ourselves a question, I know this sounds a little bit complicated, but it's not. Is Rabbi Yehuda agreeing, meaning explaining, or disagreeing with the Tanakama? In other words, is there a machlekas or is there not a machlekas? And the answer is, it's a machlekas, whether there's a machlekas. Sounds complicated, but it's not. Perfectly simple. According to Rami Bahama, he maintains that yes, there is a machlekas. There's two opinions in the Mishnah, and I'm coming to explain the first one. Others would hold Rabbi Shua ben Levi and Rabbi Yechanan, and they say, no, there's no machlekas, and the word Amosai is merely coming to explain the opinion of the Tanakh. Okay. Says the Gemara, one second. Veloy pligi question mark. Now we're attacking Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said that what? That Rabbi Yehuda was merely coming to explain the opinion of the Tanakama. There is no machlekas whatsoever. Says the Gemara, really? There's no machlekas? Everybody holds that if you have another profession, then you're kosher le'edus. V'hotanya, but we've learned in a braisa, bein sheyesh loy umnas sheloihu, bein sheloy, bein she'ein loy umnas elohu, hareze posel. End of braisa. What does that braisa say? Whether you have another profession, or you don't have another profession, you are always posel. Now, one second. Who's talking there? Obviously not Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says you're not always posel. So who must it be? It must be the Rabbanon. So I see clearly there are two opinions. If Rabbi Yehuda was coming to explain the opinion of Rabbanon, so it means there's no machlokes, and everybody holds that you're only possible if you've got no other profession. Well, how can I now see a brace that says you're always possible? Who's talking? Not Rabbi Yehuda, not the Rabbanon. So don't I have a mafurish of brace that says that what? That there is an opinion out there that says that you're always, always possible, whether you do have another job, you don't have another job, it's all irrelevant. You're always possible. So what does that show us? Who is that talking? It must be the first opinion in the Mishnah, which means there is a machlokes. So how can you tell me that what? That the word Amosai simply means that Rabbi Yehuda is coming to explain the first opinion, and that there's zero machlokes. Everybody agrees. You're only possible if you have no other job. I'm sorry to tell you, I've got a mafurish b'raisa that says you're possible always.
And therefore, Rami Bachama is okay.
Right. So therefore, Rami Bachama not only is okay, but all of a sudden the other opinion is in trouble now. We're busy attacking Rami Bachama to the contrary. How can Rabbi Shua ben Levi say, no, Amosai, it's a general rule. Whatever it says, Amosai, it's always coming to explain. What, there's no machlekas in the Mishnah? And the Rabbanon hold, you're only possible in some cases? The Brisa says you're possible in all cases. So we'll just have to learn the Gemara's Teretz. We'll translate the words. We'll have to explain this tomorrow properly. Says the Gemara, Hahi Rabbi Yehuda Mishum Rabbi Tarfoin hi. Do you know who's the author of that brisa? That's our very Rabbi Yehuda. In the name of Rabbi Tarfoin, we're now bringing a new opinion to the table, Rabbi Tarfoin. What did Rabbi Tarfoin say? Tanya, because of a brisa. Rabbi Yehuda Oima Mishum Rab Tarfoin Lo Oilom Ein Echod Mehen Nozir Lefishaloi Nitno Nazirus Elo Lahaflo. What on earth has Nazirus? Who on earth is talking about Nazirus over here? So we don't have time to go into it fully, but just by very brief introduction, then you can see the Rashi, and tomorrow we'll learn this. The critical word in Nazirus, when a person wants to accept upon himself Nazirus, is hafla'a. Hafla'a means to enunciate. You can only become a Nazir if you clearly enunciate, I hereby declare that I'm accepting upon myself to be a Nazir. If there's not a clear enunciation, hafla'a means to enunciate, to talk. By the way, that word comes from the Torah. Because if you look in the Torah, when it talks about a nozir, it says, ki yafli, when he will enunciate. So you've got to enunciate. So you can imagine that this now opens up a whole world of what constitutes hafla'a. The cases that the Gemara talks about in nozir, and then you'll see why, what's the relationship to our sugya, is Reuven is sitting on the park bench, and all of a sudden, Shimon, who is a Nozir, walks in front of Reuven, and Reuven says, yep, me too. Does that constitute a haflah? Does that mean that he's just accepted to be a Nozir? So maybe not. What would be, however, if Reuven is sitting on the park bench, Shimon passes in front of him, and it's not clear whether Shimon is or isn't a Nozir. And Reuven says, I am hereby declaring that I accept upon myself to be a Nozir if Shimon is a Nozir. What does this remind us of? We're back to Asmachtas again, and that's the relationship to our sugya. One second. Did you know he's a Nazir? Did you not know? Were you serious in your enunciation? You were not serious in your enunciation. We'll have to see more about this tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem, but that's the connection, the unbelievable connection. All of a sudden, we've veered off into Naziris, because this will bring us back once again to Asmachta. Unfortunately, we run out of time, but Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow, same time, same place.
Mitzvah.